Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. People are in deep bondage while under the illusion that they're free. The Jews of Jesus' day thought they were free and didn't like being told they needed deliverance. Today, more about Jesus, the great gift giver. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a four-part series on the gifts Jesus brought to us so long ago. We've come to gift number four. Turn to John chapter 8 for more about Jesus, the gift of freedom.
What's happening in the text is he's talking to people who believe in him, and then in verse 33, there are also some who don't. It's mixed company. They answer him, "We are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Then Jesus says, "Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." And then I'm skipping to verse 36. "So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." But notice this, verse 37. "I know that you are Abraham's offspring, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you've seen of your father." And they say, "Abraham is our father." Now, what's going on there in the text? Think of this. These people are using their religiosity, their pedigree that goes all the way to Abraham. They are using that pedigree and their religion to keep them from Jesus, from the truth about themselves, from the truth about God. And they are choosing bondage rather than freedom in the name of religion. I want to be candid here. Religion is one of the most deceptive shields that can become a mask that people wear so that they don't really have to deal with the truth about themselves and God and their need for redemption. So you have people say, "Well, you know, I'm okay. I attend Moody Church," or possibly, "I'm okay because I'm a Baptist," or "I'm okay because I'm a Catholic. I attend the Catholic Church," or "I attend the Mormon Church," whatever. And religion becomes a shield, and even though that all may be true, that they are committed to these various religions, the problem is that those become a shield to keep them from reality and acknowledging the truth about themselves and their need for a redeemer. You see, these people weren't able to see themselves. And Jesus said, "It's possible to know the truth. Some of you do know the truth. Others of you will not receive the truth," and you'll use religion to shield yourself from the truth. That's what's happening here in the text, and it's something that all of us can fall into, the hypocrisy of not dealing with who we are in God's presence. So Jesus said, you can know the truth. And then he says, "And the truth will set you free." If you accept the truth, it'll set you free. Now let's look at this. Verse 32, an astounding statement. "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." In other words, if the Son shall make you free, Jesus says now in verse 36, you're going to be free indeed. You're going to be fully free. Now, your Bibles are open, and I want you to see two contrasts that Jesus now makes. Two contrasts. The first is between a slave and a son. "Truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever." Why? Because he's not part of the family. He may go to church, but he's not part of the family. But the son, he remains forever because he is part of God's family. So the first contrast is between slavery and sonship. Now, think of how amazingly accurate the Bible is. The Bible has the most interesting, the most true analysis of human nature available. That there are people today who think they are free and they are slaves to sin. Now, if you're a slave, You don't get up in the morning and begin to tell the owner what to do, your master. The master begins to bark out orders at you, and you had better follow through with them. That's the way some people's lives are. They don't have any control over the sins that entangle them, and they may be sins of the flesh that we frequently speak about, and most assuredly, those sins bind. Oh, the depths of that binding. You know, Jesus is using an illustration here of someone who's imprisoned. And you can imagine, you know, during the Middle Ages, there was a man who made chains and who put his signia on every link and took pride in the fact that nobody could break one of his chains. And then he was imprisoned and noticed that he was actually bound by his own chain. The Bible in the book of Proverbs talks about being bound by cords of sin. Imagine somebody, the chain is coming out of a concrete wall and it's wrapped around his leg, and there he is. And Jesus said that if you are a sinner committed to sin and you are actually only a slave and not a son, you are a slave to sin. And it may be the sins of the flesh, it may be the sins of the spirit. You know, when you look at the religious people of the day, I wouldn't say that they were necessarily bound to sensual sins, but they were bound to the sin of self-righteousness, the sin of anger, the need to be appreciated, the pride of the human heart, and all of those sins of the spirit. And Jesus said that if you commit and walk in that path, you're going to become a slave to sin. And what terrible slavery it really is. But if you are a son, well, that's something different. So, because the Son is really truly free, Jesus, the Son of God, is free, and he takes his sons and his daughters, and he frees them if they are willing to accept the truth. And this is the message of Christmas. It's the message of Bethlehem, that Jesus came to set us free, even as the angel prophesied. Now, that's the first contrast between a son and a slave. There's a second contrast, and that has to do with two different fathers. Two different fathers. Jesus said, verse 38, I speak of what I have seen with my Father, that's the Father in heaven, and you do what you have heard from your father. They said, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing what Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing what your father did. And so they go back and forth with Jesus, and they say, well, you know, our father is Abraham, and you are born implied of fornication, they say to Jesus. Now, you have to brace yourself for this, okay? But Jesus didn't take that course, how to win friends and influence people. That came a little later. That was a little later than Jesus. And you may be offended by how plainly he speaks, but that's exactly why we have to hear what he has to say. He is speaking on behalf of the Father. The words that he speaks are true. So are you ready for them? You can brace yourself a little bit for this. Verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he's a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, Jesus said, you don't believe me. Wow. Jesus is saying, now, what about this imagery of fathers? What's going on there in the text? That has to do with the nature, you see. In what sense was the devil the father of these people? He was in this sense that they had his nature, which is a nature of deception and lies. And these lies they told themselves so many times over and over that they began to believe lies about themselves, that they were righteous in the sight of God because of their works, unwilling to see their need of deep, abiding redemption. And that's, of course, where the lie really resides. And so Jesus said, you know, there are two different fathers in the world. There's the father the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's one father. The other father is the devil, and the human race is kind of divided between the two, isn't it? Young woman comes to me and says, you know, I'm in love with a man who's really a nice guy, but he's not a Christian. Well, what does Pastor Lutzer do? He takes her to this text and says, you know, there are two different fathers in the world. There's this father and there's this father. The one in verse 44. You and he may get along for quite some time, quite well, but eventually you're going to have trouble with your father-in-law. I don't have to repeat that, do I? Jesus is speaking to religious people. And today, in this church and across the world, wherever we go, and you know we stream live all over the world and are heard on the radio, etc., primarily religious people. And Jesus is saying that there is a level of deception that you can enter into as a religious person. And as a result of that, you can miss the fact that you need the kind of redemption that Jesus Christ came to give. Two different experiences, two different sons, two different contrasts, actually. And Jesus is saying that what we ought to do is to recognize that we need God as our Father. And very clearly, Jesus just puts it out there. As you read the Gospel of John and elsewhere, Jesus is constantly saying that if you don't receive me, you don't receive my Father. You think of the outstanding, the astounding, that's the word that I want, the astounding claims that Jesus Christ made. And yet you have people today who say, well, you know, to me he's a good teacher. Well, good teachers normally don't exalt themselves and tell people that their eternal destiny is totally determined by what these people do with him. No, but Jesus did that. And that's what it comes down to, as C.S. Lewis has shown, that either Jesus Christ was a liar or a lunatic, or he was Lord, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's really... and that's really the message of Christmas.
My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. If you're a skeptic, may I recommend that you read the Gospel of John? Read a chapter a day. It has 21 chapters. Because what you'll discover as you read it is that there's no way that anyone could have made up this account. Clearly, Jesus was the Son of God. And that's why he was qualified to tell people that if they come to him, he could bring the kind of freedom that he promised. It's so important for us to get to the text of Scripture. And of course, during this Christmas season, we have many reasons to turn to God's Word.
That was Erwin Lutzer with more of Jesus, the Gift of Freedom, the last of four Christmas messages on the gifts Jesus brought to us. Next time, more from John chapter 8 on freedom from the power of sin. All four messages about the gifts Jesus brought to us can be yours on CD, sent as a thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.